Steve Bowman. Welcome into the game.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate this.
Well, Steve, now, did you step on the campus in 63 or was your freshman year 62? I know 63, 64, 65 is what they report, but were you a freshman in 62?
I was a freshman in 62.
Yeah. You know, most people don't know that, you know, freshmen back then were not allowed to play with the varsity.
That's right.
But 63, 64, 65, now they list you as a fullback.
That's true.
Now, I have to ask you. Now, I played fullback too, Steve. Now,
you're probably a lot better than I was.
Well, I don't know about that. Now, Steve, were you one of those fullbacks that actually got to run the ball a lot?
Actually, I did. And I think the reason that Sloan gave it to me all the time is because he was scared to run.
Now, that's the beauty of being a fullback in an option-style offense, and the quarterback doesn't like to run it.
That's right.
So you got quite a few – handoff there.
That's true, because you couldn't appeal to the sideline because Steve called all the plays unless Coach Bryant saw something that he wanted to get in, and then, you know, Steve had a chance to change it when he got the line of scrimmage, which he very seldom did.
Well, Steve Bowman, right there in Centerville, Alabama, part of Coach Bryant's the 63, 64, 65 varsity team. A couple national championships in there. And Steve, when I asked you to come on, I said, I want you to come on, Steve, because I need our younger listeners to know that this thing didn't start with Coach Saban.
That's right. As a matter of fact, I was over at the girls softball complex right before they opened it all up. Mal Moore was in showing somebody around and stuff like that, and they were hooting and hawing about all the stuff that they had at the softball and how they were building up the athletic department in every field and stuff like that. Mal turned around to me and said, "What do you think about all this?" I said, "Shoot, y'all wouldn't even have this if it wasn't for us."
And that is so true, Steve. And so as a guy who came here I call our team, I was here from 88 to 92, I call our team the Bridge Team because we had that national championship between Coach Bryant's last one, Coach Saban's first one. But you know, this past year, Alabama had a chance to do something that had not been done in the modern era, AP era, so on and so forth.
Yep.
But if we back up, 64 national champion, 65 national champion.
That's right.
And the one that I call the missing national championship, 1966, went undefeated at 11-0. Now, you were not a part of that team, but kind of talk about – what was it like during that time as these guys were making that run off of what you all had accomplished as a championship team?
Well, to begin with, all those guys that were part of that 66 squad had come into the University of Alabama in 65 and 64. So we were all really, really close, a close-knit bunch, even though they were a year behind. Now, some of them were a year behind because they got redshirted. Some of them were a year behind because that's just the way the years panned out, you know, for those three varsity years. And so we knew one another very well. We played together very well. And so I knew all those guys that were going to go on in that 66 squad. I knew they were going to do well in their football season. I just didn't know it was going to turn out the way it did.
Yeah. So they finished it, but of course for different reasons and unknown to all, and we'll always wonder, they didn't get it, but they did everything they could to actually have a three-peat. Now,
they sure did.
And Coach Bryant made several great spurts there and was consistent throughout his coaching career. What made Coach Bryant so successful from the beginning of his time at Alabama? Of course, he was successful before, but just speaking of Alabama, till right up until those last moments.
Well, Coach was extremely dedicated. I mean, when I say dedicated, he was dedicated to football. That's what he did. He didn't do anything else. And he was a tremendous motivator of human. Now, Coach didn't do a lot of coaching on the field, but when he did coach on the field, he had your attention. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so he allowed his coaching staff to do the actual coaching and stuff like that down on the field. But when he decided he wanted to find out whether or not we really wanted to play football at the University of Alabama now, he came down on the field and things picked up. But he was hard. He was a hard man. He was a hard man to play for, but he was fair. He didn't, there were no singling out, you're going to do this and you're going to do that because you are. There wasn't any of that. We were a team, and if one guy failed, all of us failed. And it was just like the bowl games that we had gone through. Went down and played Texas, lost football game on the 1 yard line. All right. Next year, went down there and played Nebraska. Got down on the 1 or 2 yard line, and in the huddle, said, "Listen, we done been down here before, and we know what the results of that was, and we're not going through that again, because spring training after that was awful, and so we were not going to have part of that. We were going to get the ball on the go in the end zone, and that's what Coach always stressed. He said, "Listen, you can do all you want to." Between goal line and goal line, it doesn't make any difference. You can make all the first downs. You can make 1,000 yards. You can do whatever. But if you don't put it in the end zone, you haven't done anything. And our whole concept, everything that we did for on the field and off the field, was to win the national championship. The whole thing. That's our entire focus.
Was
to do that.
Steve, speaking with Steve Bowman, former University of Alabama, great two-time SEC fullback, two-time national champion, all of those great accolades. But, Steve, I found it interesting that when Coach Bryant passed away, it was only a couple people they talked to in terms of the Tuscaloosa News, and you're one of those people. And you said, they asked you a question and kind of share your thoughts, when you heard about the passing of Coach Bryant. You were not shocked, you said.
No.
And why was that?
Well, because after I had gotten away from the University of Alabama, and spent my time there, but still had some connections back with some players and coaches and things of that nature. And I could see Coach Bryant aging. I could see it. And I told somebody, we were talking about it up in group session. You know how guys mm-hmm. get together and do this kind of stuff. I said, "Listen, let me tell you something. If he gets out of coaching, if he retires or if he just, if they get rid of whatever, if he gets out of coaching, he won't live 6 months." And he didn't. That's what his life was, Martin. It was not like, okay, I have a career, and you go out and you work your career. That's what you do, and you're successful at your career at what you do, and then you stop your career and you want to go do something else, and you handle that because you were successful at this, and now you want to go on and you want to do and be successful at something else. Well, I thought. Me, now this is me. This ain't got anything to do with anybody else and what they think. I thought that because his cause, his coaching, his affiliation with athletics at the University of Alabama was going to be his final stand. That was it. This was it. And he was going to go out a winner. And when he did, and he thought the time was right for him to step down, and he did that, and I knew in my mind and in my heart, when he did that and got out of something that was so close to him, that drove him to do everything he did, and that was to be a winner, and he was that he wouldn't last very long after that.
Yeah, well,
and he did.
And that, of course, in terms of physical, he still influences the game to this day. And,
yeah.
you know, I don't know if you've heard the Jameis Winston thing, stealing other crab legs. I've not confirmed this, so I will quote my source, William Barger, a former player here who has Alabama intel, said that Jimbo Fisher, the head football coach of the Florida State Seminole National Championship team, his official statement about Jameis Winston and the Crabs was this, Steve, and I want to know what are your thoughts on that and how Coach Bryant would have responded if you can, you know, of course, you would have to just be projecting and giving your opinion. But he said this is a baseball issue, not a football issue. Speaking of Jameis Winston, who's currently on the baseball team and not currently involved in football, when it happened, I guess, that was his statement that what Jameis Winston is going through, this discipline and all of this, is a baseball issue and not a football issue. What are your thoughts on that, Steve?
I think that he'll change his tune when football season cranks up. It won't be a baseball issue then. It'll be a football, because we've had guys that played baseball and played football both, and I'm sure when you were in, when you were there, you had the same thing. Guys that went out on a baseball team and they did well and stuff like that, and they played baseball, and then they came back in spring and they played football and that kind of stuff. Well, God bless them, because there's no way I could have served two masters.
Yeah.
And so, because I asked Coach Bryant, could I play baseball? And that's another story. And he's, I'll tell you about that. And so, it won't last baseball very long, because the guys is their quarterback.
Yeah. And Steve, so my question to you is, you're him. Can you separate what he's doing, because you're not actively engaged in football season, and kind of deflect that way? Or do you not think Jimbo Fisher understands that he doesn't just play quarterback when they're practicing? He's a quarterback
all the time. That's right.
And the impact of that on his team. See, it blows my mind that he made that statement, if that is indeed true. Got a couple questions. One, I want to ask you, what's your favorite memory of Coach Bryant, a story? Steve, you know, we only get so long to toot our own horns.
Yeah.
What was Steve Bowman's, if you had to pick one moment, your highlight moment of your career?
Oh, my goodness. Naturally, the biggest thing that was big for me was winning national championship.
Yeah.
Now, winning one, that's the crown and glory of it. But winning two, back to back, that's unheard of in today's world. It just doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thrill for me, and one of the most humbling things that I had happened to me was the fact that a university the size of the University of Alabama that had all the great coaches, that had the great teams that came through over the course of years, you don't find this out till you get there and get involved, would actually be interested in a little kid from Pascagoula, Mississippi, that most folks can't even say, much less know where it is, would know, you know, and be interested enough in me to offer me a scholarship to come there and play football.
Wow.
And that's exactly what it was. This stuff about you going to get an education and all that, those are for the kids that don't play football.
Hey, Steve, you can't say that. We're on the radio now.
I'm sorry, but that's what it is. Oh, my Lord. But I had a great time. I did. I loved every minute of it. Even the meetings that Coach Bryant called me down and said, listen, this is what's going to happen in Fort. He called me in his office to tell me this one day. And he got down, and I was sitting down in a little old chair, and he cut the legs off, so you had to look up at him, you know, over the old desk and stuff. And he started to tell me what he was going to do, and I started talking. I said, listen, coach, we got a meeting call tonight, a squad meeting call tonight, and we're going to tell the young players that we don't think they have a winning attitude, and we need to get them off this football team if that's the way they're going to be, because we don't have time for that. We're trying to win a national championship and all that kind of stuff. And I was talking a mile a minute, and then I shut up. And he looked over at his desk like that, and he smiled. And I thought, well, maybe I broke an ice on this thing, and he ain't fixing to throw a book at me or something like that. He smiled, and he said, well, that's exactly what I was going to tell you. I said, woo, boy, I'm sure I'm glad I said it first. And he said, you can get up and get out of here. And I said, boy, I was glad to do that.